Now to my very special interview with Steve Cohen. I've been a big fan of Steve's work since his debut album, Silent Too Long, was released in 1997. And when I'm considering the openly gay albums of our history, I consider that one an essential album. We need to hear some of his music before we start the interview. So from the Silent Too Long album, I ask him to describe a very bitter song that has a dash of humor to it. Please tell me about I Want Everything.
It kind of evolved because most of the songs for that group were ballads. And Jack Picari, who was my music teacher and also became the producer for the disc, he said, you got to have some fast songs. In terms of what it meant, I don't think the lyrics were, you know, specifically trying to say anything that important. It even kind of turned into a joke by the end of it. You know, give me the kitchen sink.
Autobiographical?
I think in some ways everybody can have that experience, right?
Or at least have felt that way.
Right.
I saw your fine blue eyes earlier tonight. Looking so good in that shirt I bought you. You were quite a sight. I was just surprised to see you holding hands with another man. Now you come on home, wall to wall smiles. Tell me you love me. It's been too long a while. Well, my sweet baby, we'll put that bite mark there. No, you won't hide it. With that guilty stare, walking around my hometown, putting me down, you hurt me badly. Now I'm angry. Before you go out the door, we're gonna settle the score. Give me the house, give me the ring. I want everything. Everything. So walk away in silence. Show me that you're strong. And then tell your new friends about how I did you wrong. Well, I ain't perfect. That is true, but God help the next man who ends up with you. Walking around my hometown, putting me down, you hurt me badly. Now I'm angry. Before you go out the door, we're gonna settle the score. Give me the house, give me the ring, give me that shirt. Everything. The car, the dog, the kitchen sink. I want everything. I've gotten tired of waiting on you, my dear. I want everything.
How did you get your start in music?
I bought a piano when I was 16 because I wanted to be able to perform and sing songs. I was already writing songs on paper and singing them, but I had no way of delivering them.
Did your family encourage that?
Half and half, because I wanted to play the drums from the time I, you know, can remember. So I didn't end up getting drums. So when I was 16, I kind of took the bull by the horns and said, I'm not going to drive. I'm going to take the money that I was going to use for insurance, and I'll buy a piano. So I can't say my family fought, but they didn't buy me a piano either.
When did you start performing then?
I would say probably within 2 years. I started performing out with the gentleman who taught me to play piano, basically. Put together a little band and played in clubs in Philly doing original rock.
Who were your musical influences?
Elton John would have to be one of the biggest. Bruce Springsteen.
Did it ever bother you to be compared to someone? A lot of artists want their own sound.
I think it's inevitable. You know, the people, you know, try to figure out what is it that it sounds like. So, no. I mean, the only time I would be disturbed was if somebody named somebody who, you know, either they hated, or I guess as long as they like the artist, I'm happy.
Your lyrics are very out of the closet. Was that a conscious decision?
Yes. You know, especially during the first release, Silent Too Long, I was of this mindset that, you know, if I didn't say what I thought, I would never say it. Because I figured the pressures of just trying to be commercial would, you know, force me to be a little more careful with what I might say. So it seemed like the time to do it.
Looking back, do you think it was?
I'll say I have no regrets, but I am at the same time curious. You know, if I would have approached my music in a different way, might have I been more commercially successful.
Has having such out lyrics caused you any problems?
I don't think so. I mean, I was very generous with giving out my CDs because I was very curious just what did people think of my music and what I had to say. And I would give it to everybody, you know, even the manager at the, you know, rent-a-car place, and then come back and say, what did you think? And sometimes people have said, you know, it's a bit much for me, the lyrics were a bit too heavy. But, you know, I'm surprised even, like, younger kids for some reason seem to really like it. People say, oh, I was playing it for my 8-year-old or my 10-year-old. They love your music.
What song gets the biggest audience reaction?
People seem to want to hear Dyke's Lumber, and I Think I've Fallen in Love with a Lesbian, and I Want to Be a Jock. It seems like the funny novelty songs are what people like.
Yeah, I can see that. I wouldn't call them novelty, but they do have a sense of humor about them.
Yeah, what is it that makes it a song a novelty song?
I think trying to be funny, maybe.
Okay. Because when I wrote I Want to Be a Jock, I was in high school. You know, it was serious. But then when I played it, you know, 10 years later, it was funny.
Well, I Want to Be a Jock does have the element of truth to it. It's not just telling a joke.
Right.
Where a song like Rubber Ducky, a novelty song, is pointless.
Uh-huh. I have that album.
Was the hit of the album I Want to Be a Jock?
I believe so. If I was to do like a greatest hits album, although it's a little early for that, you know, I would probably pick out the funniest song from each. And I think that's what would make it up. But it's the one I'm most apt to play for somebody if I was going to play a song off that disc. It's the most user-friendly.
Yeah, it sure is.
Nike sneaker, not just to drive in. I want to wear an Adidas sweatsuit, not just to sleep in. sweat like a dog, smell like a pig. That is what the guys seem to be. I want to run with my shirt off in 50-degree weather so that my friends could say that guy's body's so together.
Please tell me about True Love.
True Love. That's one of the songs that I'm proudest of, because I think it's just one of those topics, especially in that time frame, but even for now, that people don't talk about, much less sing about. Basically inspired by the all-familiar cruising joint, you know, the park. And I think at that time I was like 10 minutes, a 10-minute walk from this park that guys would walk around in at night and meet and hook up.
They say you'll find a day when youth will pass away. Time when you lose your peace of mind and have to change your ways. They say we're all the same, just one simple dream. They say it comes from up above, and God won't let you run when it's time to find true love. But how can I find it when I fear it? I've been so frozen that I couldn't even feel it. Try walking down the street with someone you love. Keep your hands in your pockets so you don't get beaten up, beaten up. When I was in high school, I had one simple rule. If there was someone that I liked, I wouldn't let him see my eyes. I was trying to survive. Now I've lost track of time. I'm still living my old life. There was a man the other day I wanted to meet, but when he smiled, I turned away. I couldn't look, 'cause I couldn't see. I've been listening to voices that aren't coming from me, telling myself I'm gonna find a friend alone in a park at 3 a.m., at 3 a.m., 3 a.m. So take a walk with me to the end of my secret dream, where we have our sex outside and all we do is lie. about what we really need. I'm tired of late night stares, 10-minute love affairs, so I can go back to my life in the suburbs late at night, to my children and my wife. Waking up in the morning, so tired I'm ready for bed. A cup that's filled with coffee and a heart filled with regret. Smiling at a fine woman who doesn't know she's living a lie. Trying to please the world, I've shattered so many lives, so many lives, so many lives. I say you'll find a day when youth will pass away. They say you'll find a time when you lose your peace of mind and have to change your ways. Say we're all the same, just one simple dream. They say it comes from up above, and God won't let you run when it's time to find true love. Time to find true love. Time to find true love. Time to find true love.
From Silent to Long, that was True Love. In 2000, Steve released his second album called I Must Have Been Crazy. And from it, I asked him to tell us about the song Your Kind of Love.
It was inspired after the Matthew Shepard incident. I was invited to play at an event in Matthew Shepard's honor, and his mother was to be there. And I know that she heard the song. And she said that she thought that it was a good song, but she didn't want to hear it because it was just too graphic. And I can understand that.
Some people call it a fight. I just call it what it is. There's a young boy lying in the street tonight. I can tell you what it was like. Nobody saw me, but I was there. He was walking by himself. The next thing they were swinging their bats in the air. They start to hit him. Take away their pain. We'll talk again, but I can hear him scream. Touch him now, he can't feel a thing. It's what your kind of love's supposed to bring. Hit him now, won't take away their pain. Won't talk again, but I can hear him scream. Touch him now, he can't feel a thing. It's what your kind of love's supposed to bring. Your kind of love. Middle of the day, can't seem to open my eyes. I keep on waking up, always trying to turn out the lights. Yeah, this is such a small town, can't be naming names. time there's no change. The same nightmare comes back again and again. They start to hit them now, won't take away their pain. We'll talk again, but I can hear them scream. Touch them now, you can't feel a thing. It's what you gotta love to love the brain. Hit them now, won't take away their pain. We'll talk again, but I can hear them scream. Touch them now, you can't feel a thing. It's what you gotta love supposed to bring. Your kind of love. Your kind of love. Hit them now, won't take away their pain. Won't talk again, but I can hear him scream. Touch him now, he can't feel a thing. It's what your kind of love's supposed to bring. Hit him now, won't take away their pain. Won't talk again, I can hear him scream. Touch him now, he can't feel a thing. It's what your kind of love's supposed to bring. Your kind of love.
From Crazy, tell me about Dykes Lumber.
I was with Dave Downing and his sister hanging out after some event in New York. And we were sitting around joking about this place called Dykes Lumber. There actually is a Dykes Lumber, or I think there's a group of them, but I know there's at least one in Hoboken. But we were joking around about how the place is probably on the inside run by a bunch of dykes. And so I just sat down and we started throwing out lyrics of what we would imagine the place to be like on the inside if, in fact, you know, it was totally overrun with lesbians.
What's the reaction to that song?
Guys like it. Lesbians like it. Straight guys like it. Again, it would have to be the hit.
Across from New York Way, in that town, you know the name. In Hoboken, on a jog, I came upon their catalog. You got needs? Pick up the phone. Get an addition for your home. I see you smiling cause you know the number. Dykes Lumber. If you're a man feeling bored, you ain't prepared for what's in store. These women, they don't need you. They got their own damn caulking and their own damn tools. But if you're a woman with a serious stare, get ready for a half-price sale. With the right attitude, take the cashier home with you. Dykes Lumber. Dykes Lumber. In aisle 10, you'll find Pat. She knows what you want, she knows where it's at. And don't forget the store in Babylon. If you buy it there, they'll strap it on. Yeah, so put on your flannel shirt, jump in your working van, hike up that skirt. Enter no man's land. Open up your heart, fill up that shopping cart. Don't wear no wedding band. Carol will lend a hand. In aisle 6, you'll find Chris. She just broke up with her ex-girlfriend, sis. She'll walk you through the whole damn store, then move you in with her U-Haul. Thank you. takes longer. Yeah, yeah. No, no, this ain't. No, this is not. No, it ain't the softer side of Sears. Yeah, yeah. And don't forget, and don't forget, and don't forget the layaway plan. That's right. You gotta run now, Lord, I've been talking about it.
After I bought Steve's first album, I became an avid fan and wanted everything I could get by him. Fortunately, around that time, and partially as a way to raise funds for the next album, he made available several collections of his early demos and live shows, some of these on cassette tapes. They contain many songs that, while perhaps not quite studio recordings, that I think are well worthy of my sharing them with you.
I want to ask about a handful of songs from, I guess, your earlier releases or almost releases. I don't know how do you think of those discs?
My pre-release releases.
Okay, pre-release releases. I think they contain some very fine work. Tell me about Mr. Wilson.
That song, I think, was one of the first that had a nice little rhythm to it, and I think just the story came to mind of, you know, what it must be like to be an older gay man, you know, what must the experience be like, and how a lot of times younger gay men are, I guess, discouraged from socializing, you know, especially, you know, years ago, an old gay single man was probably ostracized by the community.
I very much like that you did that, because that is a subject matter that you don't hear about. And I can easily look back, you know, years before I thought of coming out of the closet, knowing about someone in the community, maybe older, who was gay, but being petrified to ever think of actually talking to that person.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of a homophobic response that, you know, we get somehow pushed into us, and it's hard to even be conscious of it.
There was an old man down my road in a stone house all alone, and all the children, we stayed away in a fear. Nobody could name Mr. Wilson with the fading green eyes. What do you feel inside? We don't mean you any harm. Did you grow up in a town like me? Past destiny, and the rumors, are they true? Was it once a man who shared that house with you? Mr. Wilson, you don't have to lie. You're a product of your times. I need to talk to you. Somebody didn't want you to talk to me, as if a man who's true to himself could somehow hurt me. I want you to know that we can be free. Well, Mr. Wilson told me you were insane. I can't accept that name, and I need to talk to you. Oh, mister. Can you open the door? Open it up. Could you open it up? I know you want to talk to me.
Tell me about Record Land.
I think that was just asking the whole question as I was getting into recording of, do I want to speak and say whatever I want and end up not going at it from a commercial standpoint? Or do I just want to, you know, try to hook up with a recording studio and get a contract and go on tour and, you know, do what I'm told? And I know I was kind of at my, like, wit's end when I wrote that. I think I wasn't sure what was happening with the recording deal, and I just tried to sit down and write something honest.
I know one artist who told me that putting something very, very gay on his first album was very freeing to him, because then he didn't have to worry about that question anymore.
I think a lot of it has to do with, as an artist, whether you're doing it to be an artist or whether you're doing it to try to make a living. And I think I never answered that question. I think I was expecting to make a living and say whatever I wanted to say. And they don't typically go hand in hand.
I once had a dream. Sing for large crowds. They'd understand my words. And life wouldn't be so hard. And all the love I swore I didn't need, I'd give it back to those who accept me. But I stuck my head in the sand, 'cause there ain't no gay boys in Record Land. I stuck my head in the sand, 'cause there ain't no gay boys in Record Land. I needed a deal where airplay makes you big and makes you real. You could pass me that joint so I wouldn't think. Strike up the band, the show must go on, it's Record Land. Now strike up the band, the show must go on, it's Record Land. Don't want to know. He pays good money to see you put on a show. dream and sing for large crowds. They'd understand my words and life wouldn't be so hard.
Tell me about the song, Another Man.
You're really pulling him out from the past now. Another Man. Just a flat-out statement of, you know, here's what I need. I need another man.
I've been hiding this for far too long, but these feelings, they're just too strong. The best policy is honesty, the thing that I need is another man. As I find my way in this world, it hits me, it's so absurd to live out my life for people who hate me because I love another man. Another man, I got to live free. Another man, who needs me? Another man to hold me tight. Another man to build life. I let go of my morality because I thought religion turned its back on me. Now I know God's inside of me, and he made me love another man. Another man, I got to live free. Another man who needs me. Another man to hold me tight. Another man to build life. Another man. Ignorance is fear, so I'm told. And silence is death for my world. God, please let me walk into a time where I can show my love. Right outside, for another man. Thank you.
that's what I need. Don't you give it to me, yeah. But don't you give it to me, yeah. Don't you give it to me, yeah.
Tell me about the song Lesbian.
That made for a good sing-along. People request that all the time, and it was never really released, but it makes a good sing-along song. Oh, What Have I Done? I Think I've Fallen in Love with a Lesbian. I used to sing that in Rehoboth Beach in the summer. I was working at this bar. Whenever there'd be like a group of women coming in, I would get the key lady from the group, and I'd give her a free CD, and then I would do I Think I've Fallen in Love with a Lesbian, and all you need is one loud woman to be your fan, and she can make a room of 300 make a lot of noise. That's a good, useful song.
With a sense of humor.
Yes. Yeah, it's a song about what it must be like to be a straight guy falling in love with a lesbian, how frustrating it is for the straight guy. And, of course, I'm the straight guy.
In the song.
In the song, yeah.
I think I'm falling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a holiday. I went out to this place. I went out to the Irish pub. You know the place. I was there. It was really cool. I was there with a bunch of friends. We were hanging out. We were looking at everybody coming in. Yeah, it was very cool. Was enough to keep a man up all night. But who's that girl over there running her pretty fingers through my dream girl's hair? Girl, what have I done? I think I've fallen in love with a lesbian. Oh, what have I done? I think I've fallen in love with a lesbian. With a lesbian. Huh. It's my life story. Don't you see? You see, I fall in love with these women who they just can't love me. Yeah, I'm a freak of nature. In the third degree. Is there anybody in this world is anything like me? What have I done? I think I've fallen in love with a lesbian. Everybody, oh. What have I done? I think I've fallen in love with a lesbian. I live in a dream world. Someday I might find someone in this world that I can call mine. But what have I done? I think I've fallen in love with a lesbian. Oh, what have I done? I think I've fallen. Yeah, yeah. I think I've fallen. Maybe there's room for three. Maybe once they take a look at me, yeah. No. Yeah, I'm gonna change their mind. Yeah, I'm gonna say, I'm gonna show them what love is like.
How has your music changed or evolved over the years?
I'm thinking it's becoming a little less like spilling my guts out. You know, I think I try to write more to what other people could relate to.
How has that been working?
I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's helpful if I can do a little bit of both, because sometimes I like to write songs that other people could relate to and might be commercially successful, but at the same time, it's almost like a religious experience to just be able to write what you think, to have the outlet, and then see where the chips fall.
Steve's been working on a so far unreleased CD, and I asked him about one of the songs that he has made available on his site. Tell me about Tantrum.
I was definitely being influenced by hip-hop at the time.
Tell me about it lyrically.
It's just a cute story about having had it and wanting to throw a tantrum and throwing it so far that you end up taking off in a rocket like Noah did. With two of everything. And it just goes through the insanity of what that will be like putting it all together.
Insisted positive, but that's a life half lived. If you're carrying an angry shell, you just gotta let it out. If you can't find a helping hand, just say to hell with it. If you can't pay the rent, cause all your money's spent. Give up your career, buy enough canned food for 100 years. Get yourself a moving van and drive it from this land. Pick up the pace, ain't no time to waste. Don't stop as we fly through space. This ain't no joke, hold it in your choke. Excuse me, I'm a part of this human race. You should not have struck my match. Now I'm hotter than the sun and I'm about to have a tantrum. Pick up the pace, ain't no time to waste. Don't stop as we fly through space. Ain't no joke, hold it in your choke. Excuse me, I'm a part of this human race. You should not have struck my match. Now I'm hotter than the sun and I'm about to have a tantrum. Along with the moving van, get one of those trucks that carries gas. Connect it up with the fuel tank. You ain't gonna stop for anything. Just fly through the toes. You won't be coming back down this road. Extra tires, an extra motor, some extra film so you can take some photos. Generator, refrigerator, washing machines you can clean.
You may find this next part of our discussion interesting. You'll hear an artist talking about changing his name.
There's a lot of confusion with the marketing, with my marketing right now. For example, if you type in Steve Cohen on iTunes, you'll get me, but you'll also get a guy named Steve Cohen who put out a disc called Duo Personality.
Yeah, I did some Googling on your name, and there are way too many Steve Cohens.
Exactly. And that's not smart. You know, almost everybody has changed their name. Even drag queens change their name. So I've been considering changing my name. But it's a big step to do that. I have a name in mind that I like, but some people like it, some people don't.
Too many Steve Cohens.
That's correct. All right, should I tell you the name?
If you like.
Elton Costello.
Elton Costello. It kind of sounds too similar to existing names.
Right. But I thought in terms of web searches, my name would probably come up.
I see. People looking for Elton John or
Elvis Costello
would find you.
Right.
So indirect hits.
Right.
Uh-huh. I've heard one artist say, you got to try and record a Joni Mitchell song because people looking for her will find you.
Right. So, but that's the kind of thing. It's like if I'm going to make a move and rebrand, I'd better think about it before I really seriously put something out or promote the name. And, you know, I mean, within a regional area here, I promote myself as Steve Cohen. But I don't think it's helping.
Tough market.
Right. And I like the idea that, you know, Elvis Costello was the Brit who took the American name. So I would be the American who took the Brit name.
It'll be interesting to see what you do.
Right.
And a few days after we talked, he wrote that doing the interview helped give him some clarity about his music, and he was going ahead with the new album called Electronic Phonics and the new name, Elton Costello. And I got Steve to talk about one of the other songs from the new album.
Actually, my favorite song off that is not Tantrum. It's a song called World Famous Chef, or World Famous. It's basically about, you know, a chef who, you know, is making tons of money putting together food that costs like 35 cents. I guess it's kind of a cute, funny type song.
For $1,000 a plate, you get candles and fine drapes. In a room so dark you can't see, the food you're getting we couldn't give away for free. It's about presentation, tiny portions, combinations that are strange and creative. I'm a world famous chef. If I ain't hit your town, it's next. If you ain't heard of me yet, advertising takes care of it. My cookbook hits the press the end of August. Try my prunes with angel hair and asparagus. It's my most famous dish. World famous. World famous chef. 10 grand, I'll cook your breakfast in your bed. Top the covered onions with a mayonnaise spread. If you're entertaining, frozen dinners help out in a pinch. For $59.96, you get food worth 23 cents. I'm a world famous chef. If I hit your town, it's next. If you ain't heard of me yet, advertising takes care of it. My cookbook hits the press the end of August. Try my prunes with angel hair and asparagus. It's mine. Most famous dish. I'm cooking for the queen and the king tonight. You see, people will buy anything if it has the right price. Next, if you ain't heard of me yet, advertising takes care of it. My cookbook hits the press at the end of August. Try my prunes with angel hair and asparagus. It's my most famous dish. World famous.
Any very gay songs on the album?
Nothing gay. Nothing gay specific. I mean, I wrote it, so it's automatically gay.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
But I do think that my writing style will continue to move where I'm not so specific. I think I'm looking for more people to relate to what I do. Sometimes you say too much, you alienate people. And then you can't get any message across.
That brings me to a question I was going to ask. For your music, is there an overall message you hope it gets across?
I would just hope in general people find some type of inspiration or healing in it.
Are there any questions I should have asked you?
That's a great question. Nothing comes to mind now.
I try to ask that because some artists have parts of them that they want people to know or things that they're very interested in that people never ask about.
Right. The only thing that that seems would wrap things up for me a little better, I think, is it costs money to put out CDs. And I wish I had more of it, because if I did, I would have been releasing a lot more music. So, I mean, my first disc, I think, was in 97. And I went bankrupt, you know, recording. And the second disc, I just paid for with another bankruptcy. So, you know, I think the pressures of selling CDs at some point do make me think about, you know, what is it that I'm doing and how much do I have to give? And what's the point? You know, in some ways, it's kind of the universe says, we don't want that.
But there are people I think you really reach.
I hope so. And that's why, you know, I did it at a point in my life that I could afford to do it. And I don't regret that it was done. But I do think my style will continue to evolve and hopefully become more upbeat as the years move on. Because there's plenty of good things about being gay or just living that, you know, are helpful to be reminded about as well.
I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And I especially want to thank Ellen Seeling and Steve Cohen for the wonderful and very candid interviews. And, as I expected, the interviews were so good that I could not fit all of them into the radio version of the show. So my internet listeners can hear an extended version with more comments and additional music. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. There were many more songs from Steve albums that I love and wish I had time to share with you, but I'm going to end this segment with one of my favorite songs from the first album, the title track from Silent Too Long. Please tell me about the song Silent Too Long.
Silent Too Long. I guess it just seemed like an anthem, a good anthem. I know at that time I was playing at gay pride events, and I was going to out music open mics in New York, and I was starting my own out music group in Philly, and I don't know if it's hard for me to imagine singing it because it's been a long time. In some ways, it's hard not to feel like my songs, the lyrics are corny.
I think they're honest.
I do appreciate that. I just know, even listening to the new Elton John disc that just came out, there's a couple lines that are so honest that they sometimes seem corny. It's hard to be to be the artist and be the audience at the same time. That's pretty deep, isn't it?
I'm not sure corny is the word. Maybe too general, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I guess corny was a bit harsh. I shouldn't be so harsh. But yes, it is hard to find a lot of places where you could perform that song and it would click. Very limited audience.
Well, I think I disagree, but let's hear the song. Here's Silent Too Long by Steve Cohen.
Land of the brave and home of the free. Why did you make a liar out of me? My country, mine to serve. This kind of treatment nobody deserves. I've been silent. I've been silent. I've been silent too long. Never said a word. Nothing was heard. And at the church, they oppressed me. In confession, I just couldn't be free. while the preachers led their double lives. Oh yes, I kept it all inside. I've been silent. I've been silent. I've been silent too long. Not a word was heard from me. But that's not how it's gonna be. And my nephew at his high school, where denial is the golden rule. They don't teach him to make love that is safe. There's just too much fear and too much hate. Dear Lord, help me to do what is right. Don't